Frosthaven, Robert here. Pull up a chair and let us sort the keeper from the shelf filler. Frosthaven, Cephalofia Games, designed by Isaac Childers, is a colossal 1-to-4-player cooperative tactical combat campaign, a 138-scenario branching legacy story where four mercenaries slay monsters and rebuild a snowbound frontier town. It's the fully standalone sequel to Gloomhaven, so you do not need Gloomhaven to play. Every turn you pick two ability cards from your hand, play the top action of one and the bottom of the other. With no dice, combat randomness comes from a small attack modifier deck. Beginners should start with the Drifter class, keep difficulty at default, run a free companion app, and play Scenario Zero first. The real skill is managing your dwindling hand of cards, because running out of cards, not hitting zero HP, is what kills you. If this guide helps, using the Amazon links on the page is a simple way to support Puzzlewick at no additional cost to you. What is Frosthaven, and why 2026 is the year to cross the threshold? Frosthaven is less a board game than Asterisk A Winter You Survive Together. Designed by Isaac Childers for Cephalofia Games and released in 2022-2023, it's a cooperative tactical combat campaign for 1-4 players, roughly 1 to 2 hours per scenario, spanning a 138-scenario branching story. Here is the first thing every newcomer needs to hear. You do not need Gloomhaven first. Frosthaven is fully standalone, with its own classes, story, and rules. The lore is a slow-burn legacy, a dying outpost at the frozen edge of the Empire, cut off by snowdrifts half the year, beset by yeti-like Algox warriors, lurkers boiling up from the northern sea, and machines that wander the wastes. You play mercenaries at the end of their rope who stay to rebuild it, and over 200 to 300 real hours, that fiction becomes asterisk your group's asterisk fiction. Why cross the threshold in 2026? Three things are fresh. The digital adaptation hits Steam and Epic in early access, July 2025, so a wave of players are discovering Frosthaven through the video game and craving the tabletop original. Gloomhaven's second edition, 2025, reshuffled the on-ramp conversation. GH2E is now the polished entry, with Frosthaven framed as the heavier advanced campaign. And the quality of life products that didn't exist at launch, Play Surface Books, the removable sticker set, solo scenarios, are finally in retail. Now your entry. Each player picks one of six starting classes. Pick what you asterisk love, but if you want the gentlest welcome, grab the Drifter, Complexity 1-5, Tough, Flexible, or the Banner Spear 2-5. Confirm you don't need Gloomhaven. Frosthaven is fully standalone. Clear a big table and a shelf you can dedicate for months. Buy the base box second printing. It's everything. 17 classes, 138 scenarios, the outpost, all components. Nothing else is required. Each player picks one of the six starting classes. New players, take the Drifter 1-5 or Banner Spear 2-5. Avoid Blinkblade and Geminate, both 5-5. Watch the official gaming rules, how to play videos linked from Cephalofia's player page, the fastest way to learn correctly. Set up a free companion app, Gloomhaven Secretariat or Exhaven Assistant, before you ever sit down. Read your class mat and starting hand. Every card has a top action, a bottom action, and an initiative number. Speak the tongue of the North, a few words that mark you as someone who's been around the campfire. FH/GH/JOTL, Frosthaven/Gloomhaven/Jaws of the Lion. The outpost phase, the between scenario town turn where you build, craft, and sometimes get raided at night. Prosperity, your town's growth track. The slow dopamine drip that keeps a 2-year campaign alive. Sealed box/envelope, legacy content you tear open at a milestone. Opening one is a ceremony, spoiling one is treason. Crashing Tide is not an expansion. You'll see Crashing Tide talked about like a product to buy. It isn't Crashing. Tide is an unlockable class inside the base box. It can play three cards a turn via its overwhelming wave mechanic. There is no standalone Crashing Tide product. Don't pay extra expecting one. Should a brand new gamer start here? Honestly, usually not as your very first heavy game. Frosthaven's starting classes are the most complex in the series, and many stores steer newcomers to Jaws of the Lion or Gloomhaven 2nd Edition first. But if you're already comfortable with big rulebooks, or you fell in love through the video game, you can absolutely start here. Pick what you love. Where the veterans point newcomers, the room is unanimous on one thing. The nervous newcomer worried they'll slow the group down is exactly who this community wants. A Haven group isn't hunting for a fourth optimizer. It's looking for a fourth friend to survive the winter with. This is a legacy of a hobby box. You live inside it for a year or two, and a finished campaign is a trophy you carry for life. As an entry into the long game, almost nothing on a shelf rewards patience like this one. Blunt verdict, don't start with the Blinkblade or the Geminate. They're brilliant and they will drown you. Drifter, game one, thank me later. The fact that 83,000 people funded this before they'd ever touched it tells you everything. You're not buying a game, you're joining a thing that's still going. Get in. Read the setting text slowly when you start. A dying outpost, the Algox in the mountains, the lurkers in the sea, that world is going to become yours by the end. Honor it from scene one. Building your mercenary, Deckcraft, the Enchantress, and the lowest, ready, bar the craft in Frosthaven is Buildcraft, Deckcraft, and Towncraft, all permanent, all yours. Your mercenary is asterisk a tiny hand-managed deck, often just tilde 10 to 12 ability cards. Read your class mat, and build your level 1 hand to your class's hand size limit. Every card has a top action and a bottom action plus an initiative number, and mastery is the asterisk art of the loss asterisk. Knowing which card to burn for a game-winning action, and when, balancing your rest cadence, and reading your attack modifier deck, the AMD, like a probability poet. The lowest acceptable asterisk ready asterisk bar is genuinely low. You do not need to memorize the rulebook. You need to know, pick two cards, play one top and one bottom, lowest initiative goes first, and the thing beginners forget, you can always fall back on a default attack two top or move two bottom from any asterisk card. You're never truly stuck. That's asterisk ready. Everything else you learn at the table. Then comes the deeper layer, enhancements. You carry hard-won gold to the Enchantress and apply a permanent sticker to a card, plus one move, an element, a jump. A target. Because it can asterisk never asterisk be removed, the community has produced enhancement calculators, optimization guides, and genuinely asterisk heated asterisk holy wars over whether plus one movement on your bread and butter card is the correct first buy. It usually is. There's a thriving hobby tier too. People paint the Frosthaven minis, a real step up from Gloomhaven's. The community agrees, swap standees for figures, 3D print organizers, and obsess over folded space and Lazarox inserts, because taming the box is half the hobby. The emotional truth, as the veterans put it, in Frosthaven you don't just play a character, you build one sticker by sticker and one gold piece at a time, and none of it resets. Build your level 1 hand to your class's hand size limit. Read every card's top action, bottom action, and initiative. Practice the default fallback, move 2 bottom, and attack 2 top from any card so you never feel stuck. Run your own attack modifier deck so you learn the feel of the plus 1 times 2 null swings. Play a couple of your class's solo scenarios, or one merc solo, to learn the deck deeply between group nights. Save your first real gold for an enhancement at the Enchantress. Start with plus 1 movement on a card you play every scenario. Decide as a group, sleeve or not, many, because cards get stickered in the legacy campaign. Settle it before scenario 1. The craftsman's vocabulary, burning a card a loss. Playing a card for its powerful one-time loss action, gone for the whole scenario. Should I burn for this? Is the eternal agonized question. The AMD, your personal attack modifier deck of plus 1/-1/2 null cards, BBE/brutal bottom loss, squeezing every drop from a card, top action one, bottom often loss the other, enhancing the Enchantress, paying gold to slap a permanent sticker on an ability card. Your first permanent enhancement, committing gold to a sticker you can asterisk never remove, is a rite of passage. It's the shift from playing the cards you got to building the character you want, the moment your mercenary stops being a starting class and starts being yours. Master the art of the loss, don't burn powerful loss cards early. Every loss permanently shortens your scenario. Ration them and lean on rechargeable discard actions. The pros map their hand as a budget, roughly how many rounds until I must rest, spend a loss only when the payoff clearly shortens the fight. The highest impact upgrades a storage insert, Lazarox Frostbox, or folded space, turns 20-minute setups into a few minutes, the single best purchase after the box. Pair it with the play surface books to replace fiddly map tiles for all 138 scenarios, and you've slain the game's biggest complaint. The enhancement sticker is where this game quietly becomes a collector's object. You're not optimizing a spreadsheet, you're investing in a character you'll carry for 100 hours. Spend that first plus one like it matters, because it does. Precise rule, since people fumble it, a long rest is initiative 99 and costs your whole turn, but you choose the card you lose and you heal too. A short rest loses a random card. Protect your key cards, choose when you can. Paint your minis, seriously. The Frosthaven sculpts are gorgeous, and there's a whole corner of the community that lives for it. Nothing makes the table feel more like yours. Sleeve debate, settled, most don't, because cards get stickered and modified. If you sleeve anyway, plan for the enhancements now, or you'll be re-sleeving at 1M cursing my name. How a turn actually works. The core loop, the exhaustion clock, and the honor of the hand hears how a turn asterisk actually works honestly. A scenario plays in rounds. Each round, all players secretly pick two cards from hand, monsters reveal their ability cards, then everyone acts in initiative order, lowest number goes first. On your turn you do two actions, the top of one card and the bottom of the other, and you asterisk choose which card gives which. No dice, when you attack, you flip one card from your AMD, times 0, times 2 plus 1 miss to adjust the damage. The heart of the game is the truth the veterans repeat, it's not your health bar that kills you, it's your hand. Cards you play go to your discard or loss pile. You rest to recover your discard. A short rest loses a random card. A long rest, initiative 99, your whole turn, lets you choose which to lose and heals too. When you have no cards left, you're exhausted, out of the scenario. Managing that decline, not your HP, is the game. The etiquette here is asterisk baked into the mechanics asterisk. Before each round, read every monster's revealed card, their move and attack are public, and position so the most dangerous enemy can't reach you or can only hit once. And the table's most sacred rule, no quarterbacking. You may say your intent, I'm going to kill the living bones and generate fire, but you may never name a card's exact number, initiative, or title. The rules forbid it, and so does your table's honor. That single restriction is what keeps everyone solving the puzzle together as equals. Win by hitting the scenario's specific goal, kill all enemies, reach a tile, protect, or destroy an objective. Identify the win condition first, and don't overfight when you should be sprinting. Then read the matching section book entry for the story and rewards. And remember the most freeing rule in the game, a wipe costs you nothing but pride. You keep your gold and XP, losing is just Tuesday. Each round, secretly pick two cards, choose one for its initiative number, then act in initiative order, lowest first. On your turn, play the top of one card and the bottom of the other, you decide which half from which card. Read every monster's revealed ability card before you commit, and position to dodge or limit their hits. Manage your rest cadence, prefer a long rest, choose the lost card over a short rest, random loss, when you can spare the turn. Identify the scenario's win condition first, kill, reach, or protect, and don't overfight a race scenario. Watch your exhaustion clock. When you're out of cards, you're done, so don't burn yourself dry chasing one more kill. The language of the fight: exhausted, out of cards, or at zero HP, your merc is removed from the scenario, said with grim acceptance. Long rest slash short rest, the two ways to recover your discard. Null, the zero miss modifier card, drew the null, is the community's shared heartbreak. Scenario lock: we wiped, failing when everyone exhausts, said without shame, because you keep your gold and XP. No quarterbacking, the mechanic is the manners say your intent, never your numbers. I'll try to kill the archer is allowed, naming your card its value or your initiative is not. The communication rule literally exists to neuter the alpha gamer, over-talking causes paralysis and steals other people's turns. Less talk, more intent. Read the room before you move, the enemy's revealed card tells you their move and attack this round, it's public information. Most early losses aren't bad luck. There's someone who didn't read the monster cards and walked into three attacks they could have dodged. Position first, swing second. Lowering difficulty is not cheating, the game scales minus 1 to plus 3 on purpose. A group that drops difficulty or party size to learn is playing it right, not failing. New groups should stay at default or one notch below. The first couple of real scenarios are genuinely tough, and fun comes first. Hard truth that sets you free. You don't lose by dropping to zero HP alone. You lose by running out of cards. Play the clock, not the health bar, and half your bad luck disappears. There's a quiet beauty in the no numbers rule. You're forced to describe your plan in the fiction. I hold the door, you flank, and the dungeon stays a story instead of a spreadsheet read aloud. First time you draw the null on a game deciding attack, you'll want to flip the table. Don't laugh. Every veteran has that exact story. It's basically a welcome gift. Remember that a failed scenario keeps your gold and XP. There's no story consequence beyond a replay. That design choice is mercy, and it's why groups stay together for 2 years instead of rage quitting in month one. Hanging with the pros, element chains, party synergy, and the line you never cross this is where you learn to hang with the pros asterisk, and where the game draws its brightest moral line. The pro edge starts with elements. Many actions generate fire slash ice slash air slash earth slash light slash dark infusions that sit asterisk strong asterisk, wane to asterisk waning, then go asterisk inert asterisk over rounds. Other actions consume asterisk them for bonus effects. Chaining these is core advanced play, and coordinating who infuses and who consumes is the heart of party synergy. Call out the elements you generate and need. Party composition matters more than raw power. Aim for frontline durability, ranged damage, control summons, and support. Drifter plus banner spear plus a ranged class is a friendly learning trio. The deep edge is sequencing. Plan your two cards as an asterisk unit. One usually supplies the big top action, the other your movement bottom, but always check if swapping is better. Set up multi-character combos, and manage your exhaustion clock to the last round. The Masters pilot the 5-5 puzzle box classes, Blinkblade, Geminate, 2-7 card decks, universally invoked as the hardest class, unlocked classes like Crashing Tide, and play asterisk up asterisk at plus 1 difficulty or higher with Masteries. Now the bright line. Every cooperative game has its win-at-all-costs jerk archetype, and in Haven it has a name. The quarterback, the alpha gamer, the player who tries to run everyone else's turn optimally. It is the cardinal sin of cooperative Haven play. The no-numbers communication rule exists specifically asterisk to neuter it. You may share intent, never exact cards. Veterans say it plainly, if you ever feel me running your turn for you, call it out. The other edges of the code, manage your own deck. Leeching off a teammate's bookkeeping breaks the tension. Respect the element economy. Consuming the fire someone was saving, without a word, is a low-key betrayal. And honor the burn. Never pressure a teammate to burn a card for asterisk your asterisk plan. Every loss shortens asterisk their asterisk scenario. And that's their asterisk call. The pros aren't the players with the highest damage. They're the ones who solve the puzzle with asterisk you, out loud, as equals, and never optimize you into a spectator. Plan your two cards as a unit, then test the swap. Would top from the other card and bottom from this one hit harder? Think one round ahead on elements. Generate the fire ice your teammate's big play will consume next turn. Build a balanced party, tank, range damage, control summons, support, over 4 copies of the strong class. Call out the elements you generate and the ones you need every round, so nobody consumes a teammate's saved infusion. When you're ready to level up, pilot a 5-5 class, Blinkblade, Geminate, or push to plus 1 difficulty with Masteries. Police yourself for quarterbacking, share intent, never numbers, and let teammates solve their own piece. The element economy is your force multiplier treating elements, as flavor leaves enormous damage and utility on the table. Generating the right element, and then consuming it at the right moment, is where class power lives. The advanced move is cross-character. One merc infuses on a low initiative turn so a teammate can consume on a high initiative turn the same round. Bench the quarterback, the win-at-all-costs archetype here, is the alpha gamer who runs everyone's turn. The code is explicit. Communicate the plan, not the play-by-play. Manage your own discards, rests, and modifier deck. Never pressure a teammate to burn for your scheme, and never consume the element they were saving. Honor the burn, every loss is their call, not yours. The veterans shorthand quarterbacking the alpha gamer, one player trying to run everyone's turn, the cardinal sin. The Geminate, the dual form 5-5 starting class with 2 7 card decks, the hardest class, picking it is a flex and a warning. Enhancing, permanent card stickers that spawn spreadsheets and holy wars. Prosperity, the town track the long game optimizers obsess over. Party size is a difficulty dial scenario level scales to party size and level. Fewer characters means a lower scenario level, so a calm 2-character run can be gentler to learn on than a chaotic 4-player table. Use this. If a scenario is wrecking you, a smaller, tighter party is a legitimate strategic answer, not a retreat. Exact mechanism for the record, infusions go strong, then waning, then inert across rounds, and a consume must happen while the element is present. Miss the timing window and the bonus simply doesn't fire. Sequence initiative around it. The clutch moment in this game is never one big number. It's the round where you infused, they consumed, and the whole table realizes you set it up 2 turns ago. That's the high. Chase the combo, not the crit. The pros I respect most are the quiet ones who manage their own deck flawlessly and never reach across the table to play yours. Self-management is the real mastery. Quarterbacking is just impatience wearing a strategy costume. There's reverence in restraint. Letting a newer player find their own line, even a worse one, is how the table stays a fellowship instead of a solo game with witnesses. Hold your tongue, it's the harder skill. The unwritten code, sealed boxes, the 2-year handshake, and the found family of the Wastes, Frosthaven, is a 2-year handshake. You cannot drift through 200 plus hours and dozens of sessions with 3 other people and stay strangers. The campaign turns a game night into an asterisk standing appointment, and the standing appointment turns into found family. The unwritten code is real, and most of it protects that bond. Don't open the box for them. If your group hasn't earned a milestone, the contents of that envelope do not exist. Reading ahead is the one thing that can't be undone. Spoiler discipline is sacred. Never reveal a locked class, sealed box, or story beat to anyone behind you. Tag it, hide it, take it to an opt-in spoiler channel. And the deepest one, commit to the campaign. Don't bail mid-arc. A Haven group is a standing appointment, and ghosting leaves a mercenary-sized hole in the story. The rites of passage chart your whole journey. Your first scenario win, proof you finally understand the card management pressure. Your first wipe, learning that losing costs nothing but pride, where the fear of failure dies. Drawing the null on a game-deciding attack, asterisk initiation, by heartbreak asterisk. And every veteran has the story. Retiring your first character via their personal quest, the bittersweet graduation that earns you the right to crack open a sealed class box. Opening your first sealed box, the table goes quiet. Someone tears the seal, and new rules flood in, the legacy game's holiest moment. And someday, finishing the full campaign, 2 years, hundreds of hours, one box finally beaten, a shared accomplishment your group carries for the rest of your lives. Underneath the ironic groaning, asterisk, Frosthaven might have been a mistake, the setup takes longer than the scenario, and we wouldn't have it any other way, is total sincerity. As the veterans say it, Frosthaven isn't about winning. It's about the people you froze in the wastes with. The newcomer nervous they'll slow the group down is exactly who this community wants, because a Haven group isn't looking for a fourth optimizer. It's looking for a fourth friend to survive the winter with. That's you now. Welcome to the fold. Volunteer or appoint, a campaign keeper to run setup, read story aloud, track the calendar, and own the box between sessions. Decide as a group before scenario one whether you're using the removable sticker set, apply it before any permanent sticker goes down. Read story and section text with a little theater and pause on choices so the group actually deliberates. Pre-stage the next scenario before game night so you start fighting, not sorting. Protect the campaign state, store the box flat, photograph the map and sheets occasionally, and never spoil what's ahead. Host with northern coziness, a hot cocoa bar, mulled cider, and a no-mess snack zone away from the legacy components. The unwritten code of the outpost, don't open the box for them, unearned content doesn't exist. Spoiler discipline is sacred, tag or hide everything ahead of slower groups. Whoever owns the insert runs setup, and everybody helps tear down, the person who packs the box alone every week quietly resents you. and commit to the campaign, ghosting the table leaves a mercenary-sized hole in the story. The rights that make you one of us first win, you understand the pressure. First wipe, the fear of failure dies, drawing the null on a game decider initiation by heartbreak. Retiring your first merc via their personal quest, the graduation that earns you a sealed class box. Opening your first sealed box, the holiest moment. Finishing the campaign, the badge you carry for life. The soul of the thing, your mercenaries at the end of your rope, holding a dying outpost at the frozen edge of the empire, Algox in the mountains, lurkers in the sea, machines in the wastes, and you stay anyway. Every building you raise and box you open permanently rewrites the world. Frosthaven remembers what you do to it. The setup is legendary, the rulebook is a running bit, and why do I do this to myself, is said with total love. That's the soul, ironic groaning over total devotion. Host the outpost, write a campaign keeper, who loves logistics, drives the app, runs the outpost phase efficiently, many groups resolve shopping and leveling between sessions, and reads story with flavor. Onboard new mid-campaign players gently, hand them a forgiving drifter, recap the story so the stakes land, and let them retire and unlock into something spicier later. Snacks for the frozen north lean into the winter setting. A hot cocoa bar with marshmallows and a spike it option, mulled cider simmering so the room smells like the outpost, and a foraged herbs grazing board nodding to the herb gathering resource. Keep one-handed food pretzels, stew in mugs, and a strict no-mess zone near the legacy components, bowls and napkins only. A finished Frosthaven campaign is the closest thing this hobby has to a grail you earn rather than buy. 2 years from now, the stickered map and retired character sheets will mean more to you than any sealed collectible. Keep them, they're the trophy. Treat the first sealed box like a ceremony, because it is one. Let the table fall quiet, let one person tear the seal, and read what spills out slowly. The legacy game gives you holy moments, don't rush past them. If you're the nervous one, sure you'll slow everyone down, that's exactly the person we want at this table. We don't need a fourth optimizer, sweetheart. We need a fourth friend to freeze with. Pull up a chair. One precise reminder before you start, a few legacy sheets like the flowchart can't be fully reset even with removable stickers. Decide on reset vs permanent as a group before anyone sticks anything. Measure once. Final verdict. I have carried a lot of boxes home over the years, initiate, and only a handful earn a permanent shelf. Frosthaven is one of them. Don't let the weight scare you. The people who love this game best are not the optimizers. They're the ones who showed up every week, lost a few scenarios, kept their gold, and laughed when they drew the null. You don't need to be good yet. You need to clear a table, grab a drifter, set up the app, and survive scenario zero with people you like. The campaign will do the rest, sticker by sticker, box by box, winter by winter. It becomes your group story and yours to keep for life. Pull up a chair to the campfire. You're one of us now. Welcome to Frosthaven. Frequently asked questions. Do I need to play Gloomhaven before Frosthaven? Number Frosthaven is a fully standalone game with its own classes, story, and rules. It's a sequel in asterisk setting, not a requirement. You can optionally import old Gloomhaven characters via crossover sheets, but that's a bonus, not a prerequisite. Should a brand new board gamer start with Frosthaven in 2026? Usually not as the very first step. Frosthaven's starting classes are the most complex in the series, and many stores steer newcomers to Gloomhaven, Jaws of the Lion or Gloomhaven 2nd Edition, 2025, first, then graduate to Frosthaven. If you're already comfortable with heavy games, or you discovered it through the video game, you can absolutely start here. How long is the full campaign? Enormous. There are 138 scenarios in the book. You'll branch through roughly 70 to 100 of them, at about 1 to 2 hours each plus outpost time. Most groups spend a year or two of regular sessions on a single campaign. Community estimates land around 200 to 300 hours. How does a turn actually work? Pick two cards from your hand, choose one for its initiative number, then on your turn do the top action of one card and the bottom action of the other. There are no dice, attacks use a small attack modifier card deck, times 0, times 2, plus 1 miss. Lowest initiative acts first. What's the difference between Frosthaven and Gloomhaven? Frosthaven keeps the card combat engine, but adds the outpost phase, build and defend the town, a lumber metal hide herb resource economy, crafting and alchemy, a summer winter seasonal calendar, and more intricate puzzle box classes. It's deeper and heavier, asterisk not a friendlier on ramp. Is Crashing Tide a separate expansion? Number Crashing Tide is one of the unlockable classes inside the base box. It can play three cards in a turn via its overwhelming wave mechanic. There is no standalone Crashing Tide product. Don't pay extra expecting one. Do I need a companion app? It's not strictly required, but nearly every reviewer recommends one. Free apps like Gloomhaven Secretariat or Xhaven Assistant asterisk handle monster stats, the attack modifier and loot decks, and the entire outpost, removing most of the bookkeeping. Treat it as part of the game. What's the best starting class for a beginner? The Drifter, complexity 1-5, high health, a large flexible hand. The Banner Spear 2-5 is the next easiest. Avoid the Blinkblade and Geminate, both 5-5, until you know the system. Their timing and dual form mechanics overwhelm new players. Can I play Frosthaven solo or with two players? Yes. One player can run two or more characters, and there's an official asterisk solo scenarios set for single character challenges. Scenario difficulty scales to party size, so smaller parties aren't punished. A calm two-character run can actually be a gentler way to learn. Does playing destroy the components? Can I reset or resell it? The base campaign uses permanent stickers and sealed envelopes boxes. A few sheets, like the flowchart, still can't be fully reset.